Welcome to the Child Discipleship Podcast. My name is Melanie Hester, and I am so glad that we are spending time together today. The conversation that you're about to listen to is between myself and Clayton Green, where we reflect on family discipleship habits and how starting those habits is often harder than the actual habit. Clayton is the co-founder of Good Kind, a company committed to helping people start and continue practices that draw them to God and to one another. He wants them to develop the good kind of habits and holiday celebrations. Here is that conversation with Clayton. Clayton, as we think about habits and discipleship, and it's something that you're connected to because of the work that you're doing, both in your church, but also through the resources you provide to families. Like, can we start in a space where we even ask, like, how are habits and discipleship connected? Like, what is that? How is that? For some, I think that might be like, wait, how is discipleship a habit?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a great question. And I have lots of thoughts on it. So, I think about discipleship more of something that's happening over time in all of life than it is in conversations over coffee or at a table. The conversations at coffee or at a table with your family or whatever it might be are definitely a part of it. But, you know, when you think about train up a child in the way he would go and he will not depart from it, right? Mm-hmm. That train up is not teach up, it's train up. So in my opinion, the things that we do in life, you could say then our habits, right? The things that you regularly do in life have a more profound impact on who our families become than do the things that we directly or didactically teach them. Mm-hmm. So if that is what you think about life, would that, I think that that is true, or, you know, to a varying degrees of how you might kind of skin that. But if that is true, then the habits that you have a lot of power. We should spend as much time thinking about those rhythms that we have day in and day out, week in and week out, as much as we think about what we are teaching or what it, you know, what we are reading. Those things work together for sure, but the habits matter a ton, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it connects the habit piece. I mean, I know at least for myself, habits can often be the hardest thing out, like just in my everyday life, outside of my discipleship journey as someone who follows after Jesus to implement. The habits are hard. Like, habits are something that require strength and dedication and perseverance. And they just, you know, it's the little bit day after day. And it reminds me of even a passage that we're all so familiar with as leaders of the church in who are discipling kids, which is Deuteronomy 6, that talks about, like, speak of these things when you're lying down and when you're sitting and when you're standing and you're walking by the way. What they're listing there are their habits. They're things we just do almost like breathing, right? And so they just come naturally to us in that way.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's interesting that you say habits are so hard, because the habits that are actually habits are actually extremely easy. It's making new habits that end up being really hard. But I think that paying attention to all the things that are very easy for us to do, and the things that are harder, and if you really kind of like dig into it, which I'm fascinated by a lot of the social science and habit science that is out there trying to help people, usually, not in our case, usually helping people be a better version of themselves. That's not how I would be talking about it. But there's a lot of tips and tricks there of making the things you want to do in your life a little bit easier, because sometimes those things are a little bit harder. It's hard to make yourself exercise, but you can set yourself up to do it a little bit better. That's what those books would say. But I would also say that you can make small tweaks to your environment or to your day or a number of other different things in order to make praying a little bit more natural, a little bit more habit-like than it is, you know, a forced or like a make yourself kind of stop type of thing. Make it easier to do those things, not harder. I think that's why thinking about discipleship like habits, that's where it can actually begin being helpful.
I think that's a really good distinction around, even maybe the preconceived notions that we ourselves get wrapped up in it, that it's like, it's going to be so hard to implement this thing. And it's actually, what I hear you saying is that it's actually just hard to get started. It's hard to implement it.
It's a long, long road of discipleship, right? Us becoming more like Jesus, it's going to happen over years and years and years and years. The importance is that we remain engaged with the God who is actually going to make that change in us, right? So I think lowering the bar so that we are engaged with God in prayer, in Bible reading, in Sabbath, whatever those things might be, because you want to remain engaged. And then over time, being engaged with God is actually going to be the thing that changes you.
It reminds me of, you know, if anybody's read the book Atomic Habits, James Clear, right? His idea of like, this is for the long run. So just be 1% better today than you were yesterday. So it's that kind of idea around like, hold on, let's not set these super high expectations that expect for you to go from 0 to 100, where your kids are sitting delightfully and engaging in this 45-minute experience, versus saying like, okay, tomorrow we're just going to implement prayer on our way to school, and we're going to see how that rolls.
And it doesn't even have to be long, but I bet if you start doing that day after day after day, even if it's very small, something that you automatically repeat, now we're getting closer to a habit, right? So that's actually something that I do with my girls on the way to school. So I started asking them this mini catechism. The questions are great, but I think it's the fact that we're doing them that matters a little bit more. Who are you? Who created you? What are you supposed to do today? Questions like that. And we started doing it. If you start doing something like that with your kids, very small, and you make it fun, they will ask you to do it over and over and over again. And then sometimes you find that opportunity to go into that deeper conversation that maybe we would look at and say, ah, that feels like real discipleship, right? But it was actually the regular engagement that got you there to the opportunity to be able to have that question. But kind of back to what you were saying about habits being hard, I think probably one of the best things you can do if you want to be starting a new spiritual practice is to recognize that starting anything new is change, and change is hard. So if you're trying to change, you want to make that change as small as possible and then grow into it. It's kind of like, you know, we only have a certain amount of like decision fuel every day to like make new decisions. So if you decide I'm going to pray this evening and you haven't already decided how that prayer is, like which method of prayer you're going to use or how you're going to launch into that, or even where you're going to do it or precisely what time you're going to do it or how long you're going to do it. When you get to that point in your day, it's very hard to make all those decisions in that moment. So if you're trying to start a new spiritual practice, it's much better to make all those decisions in advance. I'm going to pray this long at this time with like in this place. And that can seem a little bit regimented, but making those decisions actually makes doing that so much easier. And again, my confidence is if you're engaging with God, God's going to change you. That's where the discipleship actually happens.
Yeah. I love the way that you make that so incredibly practical. And so if I can for a second, like dig even deeper into that, the practicality around it is this idea that it's, you need to have a little bit of preparation in order for you to not have decision fatigue in the moment where it just becomes like, I don't know. And you just, it just feels like you're lost in the moment that you're trying to lead. Mm-hmm. And so I wonder, like, what does that look like in the family? You talked about it with your kids and you pray on the way to school. Like, help us have some, for those who need a little bit of something tangible to hang on to, what are some more ways that that practically looks like in the family?
Yeah, that's a, wow, that's a, we could talk about that for a really long time. I'm going to try to pull those thoughts together into something that resembles a conversation. So I would say one thing is look at the rhythms of your day and try to add things into rhythms that already exist. It's much easier to stack a habit on top of another habit than it is to start an entirely new habit, which is why if you're driving your kids to school, it's a magnificent time to start any new habit. Yeah. Because it's like we're starting, it's a transition. Hey, guess what? We're doing this. Boom. And it reminds you, it reminds them. So I'll say that's number one, is don't try to add something new. Don't add a new movement attach a practice onto a movement that already exists. And I think the second thing I would say would be like, make it as tangible as possible. So I think the difficulty is remembering that you want to do the thing that you want to do, right? It's very hard to remember sometimes. But if you create something tangible, you were talking earlier about, say it when you're lying down, when you're standing up, but like they would write it on the doorpost, right? I mean, very seriously, write scripture on your doorpost, put it on tape if you don't want to like deface the house or whatever. But like those types of, that's a tangible physical cue in front of you that you wanted to remember to do something. And if you're doing that, I would recommend as much as possible to make that tangible physical cue something that your whatever age your kids are, that your kids want to engage with and that they have permission to touch and play with. Hmm. Because if you make the item like that, then what happens is you don't have to remember to do that spiritual practice anymore. They're going to ask you to do it because they see that thing and think, this thing gets my parent to talk to me. This thing gets my grown up in order to engage with me. And they will ask you. And if you say yes, we're off to the races.
Hmm. I think what you just described about the tangibility, it feels like this something that you're holding, right? Whether it's like a wooden cross that you hold while you pray, or whether it's a candle that you light at dinner time, or whether it's the physical, just like turning off the radio in the car when it's time to like start to pray. And those are really good like entryways into it. But I know that you also run Good Kind, which is a company who's desiring to connect families with tangible resources. So what exactly are those resources that you guys provide?
Yeah, well, so that is exactly, that's why we started Good Kind, is because we were trying to solve these same things for our family. We knew that there were things that we wanted to do, and we weren't as consistent in doing them as we wanted to be. And so we're trying to close that gap. And so, there's been a couple of things that we were able to, produce with that in mind. The first thing was something called Advent Blocks. It's a tangible reminder. You know, we had been doing something for Advent, but it was not in the middle of the home, that tangible nature of it. So we created something that is essentially like an Advent calendar decoration. And we have stories that go along with it for the 25 days. And our consistency skyrocketed because of the tangibility of it, because our girls wanted to do it. They were engaged with it.
Because they're these actual wooden blocks that they can touch and play with, right?
Yes. They look like the stackable blocks that you get for kids, but they, you know, you don't have, it's not just toddlers that want to play with them. I like to play with them, them as well. There's something called Easter blocks. We have a Sabbath box because we were truly trying to have a rhythm of rest every week. We have something called sticky prayers, which are literal physical interruptions like that you could put on a doorpost that help remind you and cue you to engage with God in prayer. And then we have a table conversation piece called the Gratitude that is, adds variety into that table conversation. You don't have to remember to say, what's your high or low? The kid picks it up, rolls this 12-sided die across the table, and you know, the conversation's off to the races.
I love it. So it's really gathering the family, and whether it's a marker on your mirror where you're literally writing something there to remind as the child brushes their teeth every morning and night, or else we're hoping they're brushing their teeth every morning and night, right? Or they're brushing their hair or whatnot, or whether it's actually taking these things that you guys have developed. It's just the intentionality around just choose one thing, right? Choose something that is tangible, touchable, visual, that you can interact and your kids can interact with.
Absolutely. I mean, and I think the one thing, you know, the time that we have with our families, with kids, it can seem like it goes really, really quickly, but I would actually, what is that phrase that people say? I'm going to ask you to finish my sentence. It's like,
the days are long, but the years are short.
Yeah. So like the days being long, that's where the action can be, right? That's where like you want to put the action, but the days are so long, like that fatigue. So you want to try to put these spots in there so that you are regularly engaging in those ways, because then year after year, there's a lot of work that can be done. I mean, think about it this way, kind of like in like a slightly humorous way. Okay. Like we teach our kids to be consumers because of how many times we take them to Target. Like, how many times will you take your kid to Target between when they're born and when they leave your house, sure. right? Sure. They know how to get there. They know how it works, that you have taught them what the system is. You know, we're just trying to put these other pieces in there as well.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, because what we also hear from families on a significant basis is that they're tired and they're overwhelmed and they don't really even know how to fit it into their already burgeoning schedules that feel like they just don't have the space. And so I would ask that of like, what does it look like for a family who's looking at you in the eyes and is saying, Clayton, I hear you, but I don't know where to start because I already feel tapped out.
Well, that's harder than getting a kid to pray, is slowing down enough to have the opportunity to, that's all of our struggle, right? I can't answer that question prescriptively. I guess I can only answer that from an experience. Technology is the thing that makes us feel more scheduled than we actually are, for sure. So, you know, Andy Crouch has Tech Wise Family. It's an excellent, excellent resource on helping you think about how to manage technology. He also has some brilliant things in there about tangibility as well. He says, put a piano or a guitar in the middle of your room and creativity will be sparked, right? So that's like a location tangible that you put in order to help with engagement. I would say think more about your environment when it comes to your habits than you currently do, because your environment can change so much of your engagement. Where is the TV? Stuff like that. So I think technology is one. Two, I've already mentioned, like, do it, add spiritual practices in the movements of your day that you already have. You mentioned writing on the mirror while brushing teeth. That's a fantastic time to sing a song that is scripture. And if you do that, I'm going to clap for you all day long. Because if you sing that song, really, but half the verses that I have memorized in my life, I memorized them because of singing, right?
Yeah.
That is spiritual practice with your family, and it can happen in the things that you're already scheduled. So you got to fight technology. You got to do things, you know, as you're moving. And then, you know, have a look at your calendar and remove your kids from some activities, I guess. I don't know. That's a very highly personal type of decision. But I think everybody has to definitely look at that and reflect on it, for sure. And meet myself included.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the idea of bringing into your family practices the music and the scripture. And I know as an organization for the last 75 years, Awana has always been about hide the word of God in your heart, expose kids to scripture, because that is going to come back. And of people who have left, you know, they've graduated out of Awana because, you know, they're adults or whatnot, they will say, like, the thing that keeps coming back to me are the verses that I memorized alongside the other kids in my class with the leaders. And, you know, if you're looking for resources like that, you know, I know that Doorpost Songs is a great group who will do that.
Yes.
Ellie Holcomb also has incredible scripture that she puts to music. And those are just like the very, very just first layer of people who are putting scripture to music. And so I know, I also love the idea that you had of like, let's look around our homes and ask, how are we designing them for discipleship? And that's something I'm challenged on a daily basis of. I've designed my home in a way that helps my kids' belongings and their school backpacks be organized so they can get in and out the door. I've designed my home to be able to have meal times and for them to be able to have play areas. And then asking myself the question, so what areas of my home are also conducive to discipleship? And that's changed some of the things that my husband and I do, because now there's an area where we've declared our prayer corner where our kids can go and they just sit and they pray. And we talk about, like, you know, discipleship can happen anywhere, but sometimes when you just signify this place and there's always a Bible and there's always a candle, all of a sudden, like, it's an invitation that we didn't know we were waiting on.
Oh, that's brilliant. I absolutely
the experience
love that.
Of God.
Yeah. I mean, I think if I were to pick one of those things, I think the looking at your environment and shifting your environment, because it makes it so much easier, right? If you I mean, TV is not the devil, you know, sure. But like if you take the TV out of your house, you will watch less TV, right? Not because you willed yourself to watch TV. So, I mean, I think those environmental things matter so, so much. Where you charge your phone, where you store the iPads, how easily accessible they are. Those types of things affect. And then, of course, you get the opportunity for conversation and things like that that come out of that.
Yeah, I love that. As a follow-up, I think the final question I'd have for you is this idea of we talk about in the family discipleship resources that we provide on a weekly basis. It's called the Friday Family Email, and it's an email that parents can sign up for to just have discipleship resources delivered in their inbox immediately. And they're all free. And it's always just this idea of like, if there's one thing you do, we say, talk about this one thing. And so I would actually ask you that question. If there is one thing that you would encourage a family to do, and this can get super practical, what would that one thing be to start today who are saying, yes, give me that one thing that I can implement today?
Remember that God is gracious. Because when you listen to a podcast with you, Melanie, with me, like we're talking about the best parts of our life. We're talking about the things that we've learned and how we've applied them. But I think there's something about spiritual practice that is really important to remember. And it's the fact that God is gracious. You know, God chooses to work slowly. Our discipleship is not immediate. But God is gracious. Our discipleship, our sanctification is sure, right? And I think that's an important thing to hold in balance as we think about discipling our kids, which is like, it's not going to happen quickly, but it's certainly going to happen as long as we are right, that we're engaging with the God that's actually going to do it. So I think God is gracious is kind of the one thing I would encourage people to remember. And if I were to say, you know, I was going to encourage people to do something, I think I've got to, and this is just where I am personally right now, I would go back to the car. If you could start some kind of prayer or like not anything big, prayer or a question about or centering the day when you start the car, just the first time in the day, not every time, but just the first time. I think that is a huge opportunity for making sure that you frame what life is, what the world is for your kids. So pick two catechism questions from any resource that you have and ask those two questions every time you get in the car. And a year from now, I think it'll have made a significant difference in the life of your family. Let me go ahead and make it easier. I'll say, ask this question. Ask your kids, who are you? And then tell them the answer is, I am God's creation and I am God's child. And let that be it. Like when you start or when you're kicking them out of the car to go to a friend's house, you ask them, who are you? And their answer needs to be, I'm God's creation and I'm God's child. And if you ask them that 1,000 times between now and they leave your house, you will have done a good job.
Absolutely. Amen. And don't forget the graciousness. I love your point there, Clayton. Don't forget that your kid may still jump out of the car and do something totally kid-like, like belch or do some silly face or be like, yeah, okay, mom, or okay, dad, and jump out. Like, let's remember that those discipleship moments are not always going to be these perfectly crafted and curated, like just of what you think they might look like. They're going to be raw and real. And the Spirit of God is still moving in our children and in the transformation they have for each one of us as disciples. The Child Discipleship Podcast is powered by Awana. Thanks to the donations of incredible people like you, Awana partners with 62,000 churches in 130 countries to engage over 6.4 million kids in weekly discipleship. When you give to Awana, you are investing in the future of the faith. Young people who will engage the culture with the gospel and fearlessly lead the church. To make a donation to this mission, go to awana.org/donate. Subscribe to the podcast today so you never miss an episode, and check out the show notes of today's episode for relevant links from this conversation, as well as information about other podcasts from Awana. The podcast is mixed, edited, and produced by Brian Horn and hosted by me, Melanie Hester. Our theme song is Fresh Air by Christian hip-hop artist Josiah Williams and Hits by Jude. You also heard I'll Let Go, provided by Josiah Williams from his album Rerouting 2. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next week.